Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
When we focus on God's New Testament economy, then everything in the family of faith will be brought into a proper order. This is Matt Miller, and Jim Miller is with me for the second life study from the book of Titus. Jim, thanks for coming by the studio today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Matt.
Jim, in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul said to establish elders in every city, and then continues talking about an unruly situation in the church in the verses that we're going to cover today, verses 9 through 11 in chapter 1. There's obviously a connection between the eldership and the order in the church. In fact, I'd like to remind our listeners that the subject of the book of Titus is the maintenance of order in the church. Jim, take a few minutes here and tell us why this is important.
Well, I was struck, Matt, in reading this material before coming to the program today, to see that Titus, a book which focuses on the order in the church and establishing of elders in the churches, is concerned with the content of the church life, which should be focused on God's New Testament economy. Actually, Paul's charge to Titus in chapter 1 of this epistle is identical nearly to his charge to Timothy in 1 Timothy when he charged Timothy to remain in Ephesus and charged certain ones not to teach differently, but rather to teach God's economy. Here in Titus, his only epistle to Titus, he tells him essentially the same thing. Titus, you need to pick up what I have begun and establish elders in every church to maintain the order in the church according to what they are teaching and what they are speaking. Orderliness, in Paul's thought, was not good behavior. Orderliness was remaining faithful to the apostolic teaching, which focuses on God's economy. So Paul is charging Titus, his co-worker, to establish elders for the very purpose of maintaining an orderly church life by focusing on God's economy, not accepting the superstitions and the even heresies of Judaism, Gnosticism, and other teachings that were beginning to abound in the church at that time.
I'm going to read these verses in chapter 1, Jim, to give our listeners a head start. Verse 9 says, "Holding to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching of the apostles, that he may be able to both exhort by the healthy teaching and to convict those who oppose." He's talking here about what the elders and the overseers need to do in the church. And then in verse 10, he says, "For there are many unruly men, vain talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped." I think just that much shows the connection between the need to have the proper teachings, the following of the apostles' teachings, and how that is a real fight against this wrong teaching, the unruliness in the church.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Witness Lee for today's life study.
We come to verses 10 through 16 of Titus, dealing with the influence of Judaism and Gnosticism. In this passage, you could see clearly, by that time in the church at Crete, two isms were prevailing, Judaism and Gnosticism. Christian Jews brought in their Judaism to the church life, and that became something as a kind of different teaching, and that became a kind of disturbance. The prince was these. All the elders should be the watchmen to watch over or watch out that nothing different from the teaching of the apostolic ministry to be brought into the church. At that time, Judaism was a big problem. Today, we all know, superficiality, superficial tales, and hypocrisy, superstition, all these things may be brought into the pure church life, which will be trouble. So all the leading ones have to watch out and have to watch over that none of these different isms, opinions, thoughts should be brought into the pure church life. The pure church life is only built upon the healthy teaching of the apostles. As verse 9 tells us, the elders must learn to hold to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching. What teaching? It says the teaching. This is something unique. The teaching. In ancient time, in the proper church life, when the people talk about the teaching. Now, no, the teaching refers to the teaching of the apostles. Faithful word, which is according to the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort by the healthy teaching. The apostle teaching is a healthy teaching.
Jim, let's stop right here and get into this matter of the teaching of the apostles, the healthy teaching. I'd also like to get into the superstitious Christian fairy tales he talked about, but we're going to do that a little later in the program. Let's stop right now and talk about the healthy teaching.
Yeah, this is a wonderful word and subject that comes up again and again in Paul's epistles. Healthy teaching, to be healthy in teaching, are the healthy words of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words that focus on what God's heart's desire is for the church, or God's economy, God's eternal purpose, and
right,
how it'll be carried out. When these words are spoken, the church is in order. When these words are spoken, life is ministered to the believers in
Christ. The body of Christ is healthy.
The body of Christ is healthy and comes into function, or in an orderly way. When these words are even not controverted, but even neglected, disorder, chaos, eventually disunion, division come in.
A sick body.
A sick body, right. And we can testify through years of being in this ministry, which has brought us into and emphasized again and again the fact and the truth of God's economy, what a healthy teaching this is. It brings in order, it brings in blessing, it brings in life, and it is, for that reason, the very focus of the eldership in the church life, to pay attention, to emphasize God's economy, and to prevent the believers from being distracted by so many other things that could be introduced. At that time, it was a Judaism and Gnosticism, two very attractive, highly accepted, and prevailing isms of their day. We see that among believers of our day as well.
If the apostles' teaching is so critical, Jim, and it is the healthy words, what is the apostles' teaching? Is that a fair question for you?
That's a very good question. In fact, I'd like to just give a very good definition of God's economy. God's eternal economy is to gain a group of people that he may dispense himself into them to be their life and everything, so that they may be joined to him as one, being filled and occupied with him, and be one entity with him on the earth, to be the body of Christ, the church, for his expression. This is God's economy. This is the apostles' teaching. This is the healthy teaching of the New Testament.
So I ask, what is the apostles' teaching? And you answer, what the economy of God is.
That's
sounds
right.
Like they're synonymous.
They are a synonym.
Very good. Well, let's go on to the next section with Witness Lee, and we'll get back for some more details right away.
The teaching of the apostle was not only sound nor pure, but even more healthy, full of life. The healthy teaching of the apostolic ministry is concerning the triune God being processed, dispenses himself, as the all-inclusive spirit into his chosen ones, that they all may be brought into the organic union to receive all the divine transfusions, that they may become sons of God, members of Christ, then they could be the very body to express Christ as the fullness of God. This is the healthy word of the healthy teaching. I read Dan Penton's writing. In an article, he says, many told you that you got a ticket, a gate ticket to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. But when the kingdom of heaven comes, that ticket doesn't work. You got a false ticket. That is a hypocritical minister sold to you. But all the gate guards don't recognize that. Don't honor that. This is why we have to fight. Paul fought that hypocritical Judaism and the false Gnosticism. How many hypocritical things and false things here that we need to fight.
Jim, I think this section with Witness Lee is particularly helpful because he gives an example of one of the superstitions, one of the fairy tales, one of the false teachings that we need to fight against. That's not according to the New Testament teaching of the apostles.
Right.
This matter of having a false ticket, a bad ticket.
Right.
You get to the gates and the gatekeeper won't let you in because it's not valid.
It's a very troubling illustration. Or it should be for many people whose idea of entering into the kingdom of heavens is that it is a right by virtue of their divine birth only. Again, this is a very good example of a superstition that is taught among the Lord's children because of the absence of a clear understanding of God's New Testament economy. If we understand our entrance into the kingdom of the heavens as a reward in its positive and proper sense, we'll realize that this is a very much related to the healthy teaching of God's New Testament economy. We as believers must grow and mature, forsake the world, and grow in the divine life to maturity. Based upon that, we are rewarded with an entry into the kingdom of the heavens. But today, it's altogether entirely a superstitious thing.
Today, Jim, we're not going to get into the details of this particular teaching about the entrance into the kingdom. We're going to actually get into that in a few days. We're going to touch this matter more. Today, we're mainly focusing on examples of deviations. So we encourage our listeners, if this is a shock to them, if this is a surprise to them, that they have a ticket into heaven because they went down at an altar call, they received the Lord, they got born again, and their thought is that they're going to be accepted in no matter what kind of life they live after they're saved, then they're going to be shocked. The Lord did say in Matthew 7, many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this or that? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So there's a real warning, but we can't get into the details of that warning because that's not the content of today's program. The content of today's program is maintaining the order in the church by having the proper teaching according to the teaching of the apostles. Let's go on to our conclusion with Witness Lee.
Judaism, circumcision, Jewish myths were all there. Then the Gnosticism. Because of this, there was a need to establish the eldership to watch over that all the things should be terminated. Then verse 11 says, whose mouths must be stopped? All these tail-tailing mouths should be stopped. But our burden is not just established mouths. Our burden is to minister Christ and the church to people for the fulfilling of God's economy. Our God God our Father does have an eternal purpose to fulfill. But Satan came in with all these falsehood. Then our burden, being enlightened with so much of the truth, is to minister the all-inclusive Christ and the church as his body to the lovers of God and the seekers of Jesus Christ. This is our burden, to pass on all these knowledge of the truth to the lovers of God and the real seekers of God, that we may be all together on this earth as a living body of Christ to accomplish God's purpose and to bring him back in a quicker time. You must pray, you must be desperate, and you must give yourself to this. I say again, stand firmly for God's full knowledge of truth, fighting a good fight against the darkness of the evil power.
Well, Jim, we need to stand firm to fight this fight against the darkness of the evil power. It's really a fight going on today, and I appreciated Witness Lee's word about his burden for the lovers and the seekers of Jesus Christ. The burden of this radio program is to present the truth to the lovers of the Lord and those who are seeking after him. And by doing that, the order will be brought into the church.
That's right. The epistles to Timothy and Titus are so appropriate for today's situation, and as Brother Lee has brought out in his ministry. They are words of life and truth, healthy words, even inoculating words, words that will establish the order in the church in a time of decline or degradation or deviation from the central line of God's New Testament economy of the apostles' teaching. And so these words are even more appropriate to the believers today. We are in God's house. We are the family, as you'd said at the outset, we are the family of God. And yet how disorderly a family we can become if we don't take as our focus the economy of our dear Father, of the triune God, and the purpose for which he has raised us up as the church today. So these words are words of life, truth, and order that bring in a healthy, living, functioning body of Christ.
The church is the house of the living God. It's the family of God. And God the Father wants to focus this family on God's economy. Jim, before we came into the studio today to record this program, you had some particular feeling about this life study, and I don't think we've gotten there yet. I'd like you to take a few minutes here at the close of the program and try to tell the listeners the same thing you told me.
I believe what I'd mentioned to you, Matt, and prior to our coming into the studio, was what a wonderful perspective I had on the establishing of elders in the churches and the maintenance of order in the church, which was the central thought of the book, the subject of the book of Titus, and which frankly had never been that fresh or inspiring to me.
Never had the light on it before.
I never had the light on it like I did today. And that is to see, you know, today, leadership is something that's very prominent among Christians. In fact, you can say many Christian gatherings today live or die by the effectiveness and prominence of the leadership.
That's right.
But leadership in God's economy, leadership in the New Testament is not for its own prominence. Leadership in the New Testament is to give prominence to what is God's central thought. It's just like a family that's either dominated by a father or a family that is being raised by a father. A family that's dominated by a father will fall apart if that father's gone, or if that father's derelict, or if that father turns away, because everything hinges around that father. But a father who is raising his family is perfecting the members of his family to function without his being the center. And his joy and his satisfaction is in seeing that. That's a proper model of New Testament leadership. And that was Paul's burden with Titus, that he would appoint people of that character in the churches at that time to bring all of God's children into God's economy. bring them in to see that the triune God's purpose in creating man with a spirit was that he one day could come and dispense his very life into them, making them the children of God, making them the sons of God, the members of the body of Christ. Elders who would not be prominent, but who would promote and make prominent the very central thought of God revealed in the Scripture. That is leadership in God's economy. And unfortunately, there is a lack of that kind of proper leadership today. So I saw this matter of order in the church and the appointment of elders and leadership in this kind of light that I enjoyed very much.
You know, you mentioned that, and I want to say what you just shared, in a sense, a positive testimonial of your impression, but you also had some provoking about the opposite, the contrary of what we see today. And I don't want to leave this program today without giving you a chance to release the feeling that you had. I think it's okay.
Well, maybe I go a little further. We just see a complete absence, a dearth of emphasis on God's economy. Instead, we see among Christians today an emphasis on everything but Christ. Social issues, even political issues, cultural issues, scriptural matters. Even as important as it is, the issue of creation, how much this occupies the thoughts and minds of people today, when what God intended for us to be focused on was his son Christ and his becoming the Spirit to dwell in us, to live in us for the building up of the body of Christ. There are too many examples we could list of deviations and distractions from the very person of Christ in God's economy.
The Apostle Paul said it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory.
Right.
It's not whether or not creation happened on literally 6 days or however many years.
Right.
Whether so many things that people get distracted by today rather than God's economy. Well, our time's up. Special time we've had with you today. And thank you very much for being with us. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.